Welcome to the Access Astrology Podcast. I'm Arwen O'Neill, and I'm here with my good friend Alison Price, and we are coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. Today, we're going to be talking about the astrology of fashion.
Yes, it's going to be a great program.
Absolutely. We are both excited about this topic, being girls.
And girls who wear clothes.
Yes, exactly. We are not nude. Not nudists. Not the nude podcast. The astrology of nudity is pretty boring, really.
So before we start.
Yes.
I would like to talk about.
Would you?
I would. I'd like to tell our listeners about this very special calendar that you gave me. As I came to the studio today, and this is a fabulous calendar for 2015. It features the artwork that Arwen has done. It's all her original artwork, and it's called Zodiac Pinups 2015 by Ms. Pink.
Aww.
And it's lovely, and it's in full colour. We do have some links on our website where our listeners can go and order their calendar, and it's really absolutely beautiful, and thank you for doing all this work.
Thank you.
Now tell me, how long did it take you to do these drawings? Would you say it's been a long time coming or?
Well, I do this art class and I do drawings once a month and then I finish them and color them. And
so it takes 12 months to do 12 drawings for next year, is that right?
Those are all sort of culled from years worth of drawings that I have in sketchbooks.
The fabulous original work by yourself. And tell me, in 2015, are you going to be creating
more
new images?
Oh yeah.
Ongoing work. So what are you working on at the moment, can we ask?
Oh, sure. Basically, the only thing I really draw is
women.
Pin-up type women.
Tell us what pin-up means?
Pin-up, well, it starts with the 1940s with the beautiful art of Vargas and George Petty and all these guys who created art versions of, like, Betty Grable and Rita Hayworth and all these wonderful movie stars that the reason they call them pin-ups is because boys that went off to war pin them up in their lockers and on their... Like, actually, some of the fighter planes had these.
Painted on the fuselage, right?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
So they're just risque, then?
And actually, the class, quote-unquote, that I go to is called Dr. Sketchies, and it's all over the world. So, yeah, they're basically burlesque dancers that pose for, the course of the evening for, 3 hours, and it's usually in a restaurant or a bar or different venue.
A social
type of occasion. If you can drink and you can socialize and chat and draw... So I go to these, but they're fast. The drawings are like from 1 minute to 15 minutes at the most. You don't get very much time to draw. So you just kind of get a really quick sketch. And then, over the course of the next month while I'm waiting for the next class, I just finish the drawing.
Is it like a collage?
Yeah, because I scan them in Photoshop and then I do a bunch of stuff over top of them and add weird effects and stuff like that. So it's the drawings, but then it's also a bunch of interesting sort of Photoshop filters and whatnot.
You're designing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Great.
And then Dazzle has this, they have all these templates of different products that you can buy, like t-shirts and iPad skins.
Merchandising.
Tons and tons of them, yeah.
And then on the back, you've got about each of the signs, Aries, Taurus, and so on, and some keywords for them, and it's really done very nicely.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, and I do urge anyone to go to our site and actually have a look at Arwen's artwork. It's excellent.
Well, thank you so much. Yay. And I have to comment, because as we discussed in our Gifts for All the Signs podcast, it's very important when you are giving a gift to a Leo that it be wrapped nicely. And I've been intending to buy wrapping paper for about 3 weeks now. But today, when our taping rolled around, I was feeling under the weather all day. And I simply couldn't leave the house to go get wrapping paper. So I was very apologetic when I presented this gift earlier today.
It's absolutely fine. Thank you so much. It's lovely.
So anyway, our next 2 week period, starting out on March 11th, this is a big day.
It's a big day.
Mars is going to be conjunct Uranus and square Pluto, and that is triggering the ongoing Pluto-Uranus square. And this is the seventh exact square.
Seventh.
Since 2012, so this aspect has been going on for quite some time. And arguably, it'll be...
I think Mars is making this whole thing go out with a bang, right? It's like a kicker,
Out with a bang, that's exactly right.
And so... I would want to say it's still not over yet, and the influences between that Uranus square Pluto is definitely still going to be felt whilst they're still within or breaking
off
there.
Yeah.
Especially with Mars being there, added the extra action, and of course Mars is in Aries.
Right.
So it's got some strength there.
Definitely. So all the cardinal signs are being activated.
Yes.
So if you have anything in cardinal signs, definitely that might affect you a little bit more. And expect, to hear about stuff in the news that's Martian and Uranus Pluto-ish. So on the next day, March 12th, we're going to have Mercury going into Pisces, which is not going to help matters.
Okay.
Exactly. You might want to sort of fog on your words and you know, be able to hash things out, and that will be less less and less likely with Mercury in Pisces, where it's unhappy.
Yes.
A little muddled. Not very clear and crisp in Virgo.
Then on March 14th, we have Saturn going retrograde. And I don't have a lot to say about that, but it stays there for a while.
Well, it's the first time I think Saturn's retrograding in Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's going all the way back into Scorpio.
Yes, definitely. Well,
so it's got quite a... Yeah.
For a few months, right? I think. Yeah.
Typically 4 or 5 months. And so that's... things will just slow down again then.
Yeah.
But...
And maybe revisiting some of the emotional things that happened last year for a little closure. Probably.
Yeah. Because Saturn's will be going backwards too, and then eventually go back into Scorpio, which is going to be only in a little bit later in the year, June.
Yeah.
But so it's just going to slow down its impetus and all of that.
Yeah. So then on the 15th of March, we have Mercury square Saturn.
Right. So two difficult things.
Yeah.
They're not so powerful, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, not helpful.
No.
Not all that helpful. And then on the 16th is the actual exact Uranus-Pluto square.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's the one right there. And on the same day, we've got not much more to say about that. The same day, Venus is going to be going into Taurus. It's happy in Taurus.
Yes.
It's one of the signs that it rules. So
yes.
That is a nice...
Yeah. So actually a good time, if you haven't done your tax return yet, wait until the 16th and do it after that.
Mm.
Yeah. Right, but
tax advice, yep.
I
know.
Unless you're a last minute, you know, person. But when the Venus is in Taurus, that's a better time to do your tax return, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Venus in Aries doesn't want to be doing taxes.
No.
Who does, though? So March 17th.
Gosh, it's all go, isn't it?
I know. It's a really packed 2 weeks.
Yeah.
March 17th, we've got Mercury conjunct Neptune.
Now, that's St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, and what is how perfect is that? Conjunct Neptune,
talking rubbish and having a beer.
Exactly, that's hilarious. Oh my goodness!
Sitting around conversing.
Yeah, totally. your drink on.
That's right. Or that green beer they serve in.
Oh,
seen that
beer.
West stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
I've never had. I don't really like beer.
No.
Margaritas, those are green.
And then the conversation will flow.
And I do have that Irish last name.
So it should be a good point. It should be a good St. Patrick's this year if that's the combination going on.
Don't drive. Nobody out there drive. So on the 20th, then we have the sun moving into Aries.
Yay!
Yeah, well, you know.
It's
yay for the sun, definitely.
Started the astrological new year.
Yeah.
International Astrology Day.
Yes. And the Aries point. That's the...
The trigger, yeah. So it all starts again. The whole, you know, spring is then officially... We're officially in spring.
Yeah.
Everything's warming up. People are getting out there. We're wearing the winter coats.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a growth spurt on.
Yeah.
If you're into that sort of thing. Maybe it's a good fishing day. We're not sure.
Well, I probably know, but I don't care.
It probably is. Let's just say it is.
Yes.
And all the bar lambs are lambing. So with the Chinese New Year being, by the way, the Year of the Ram, so it's like a mirror image there for when the sun's in Aries this time around.
Oh, that's great. Can you hear from the ram?
Yes.
Yes.
No, just by the by.
Yeah. Well, every year is a good year for the ram. If it isn't, they don't notice. They just...
It's a big year for them, not necessarily the other side.
Good.
So quite a busy fortnight, hey?
Yeah,
quite a busy. Lots of stuff going on astrologically. A lot of the big players are moving. Good.
What's up with the moon?
Yes, well, the moon is always moving. So during this period we've got, we're on the 13th of March, we've got the last quarter moon, so you'll just see that hanging there of an evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got our first solar eclipse of the year on March 1920.
Yeah.
And that's in Pisces, at 29 Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. We're going to have the solar eclipse just before. It's within hours, and then the sun goes into Aries.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of combining together.
Yeah.
To give power to that, to the Aries for the sun, and also to the eclipse. But the eclipse occurs in Pisces.
Right.
So all you Pisces out there, the show's not over until the fat lady sings this year, that's for sure.
In the last degree.
Yes, it's 29... 27
Wow.
Purists, I know.
Yeah.
So I know quite a few Pisces, and they'll have a good year if the sun's in there, but then it will just immediately, after the eclipse, move into Aries.
Yeah, all right. That is exciting.
Yeah. Good. That's the transits and ingresses we were looking at today.
So our Astrology 360 topic is fashion. Fashion is a fabulous thing to research. It's amazing how the astrology of the outer planets, mostly, I think, when it comes to the actual trends of fashion, I think they're very much dictated by Neptune and Uranus, because they move every 14 years and every 7 years. Yeah, I think it's actually 12 and 7. That's what it is. And so you think about the decades of like what the 80s look like, and you get a picture in your head. And I think they correlate very well with the changes of the outer planets. You know, in terms of Pluto, there's definitely an influence in culture, but I'll just talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, and then personal style, that's a whole other story. Do you have any ideas about that?
Oh, well, yeah. And it's actually funny because when we knew we were going to be doing fashion this time, I was thinking, well, you know, okay, yeah, I kind of like, you know, whatever's on the rack at the time I go into the store. To be honest, I'm not that fashion conscious. And I actually thought we were going to be discussing how clothing evolved from, like, when they wore skins, as it were.
Wow, do you have an opinion on that?
And anyway, so that was more what I was kind of thinking of. And because of that, I thought, well, I can do some homework here.
Yeah.
And I finally got down to the only drapers in Vancouver that you recommended I go to. You're thinking of what she's talking about, right?
I am.
Dresso?
Yeah.
I finally got down there the other day.
How much fun is that place?
I know. Once I found it.
It's the only fabric store in town, by the way, except for the one right across the street from it now. It's called Apex Fabrics, and they literally moved a block away, but they were closed for about 6 months. So in 6 months that have, you know, they've just ended because that guy just opened, I think, in January.
So because I know you sew, right? Yeah. And or should I say you design it, I think, as well. And you do quite a lot of sewing. And over the years, I always actually made jackets for me and things. That
yeah.
But anyway, I finally got down to this dress shop that we were talking about. Amazing. And as you walk in, you can smell the cloth, as it were.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a kid, we had a shop just like that in the village where I live, because everybody made their own clothes back in those days.
Wow.
You know, my grandmother was always sewing, I'm sure yours was too.
Yeah, all of our clothes were
Exactly.
And
so,
clothes.
And I finally got down there, I thought, wow, you know, here I am, and I saw the wall section, there was this, and there was a million things. Not that I'm a sewer, but it's always...
But you knit and crochet.
I crochet.
Yeah. And so downstairs, we got just a whole
section. I know, and I went everywhere, and I thought, oh, I know why you go there.
Yeah.
And I was down there, and I thought, I wonder how much she spends when she comes, because there was bales, literally.
Yeah.
And tons of cloth and so on.
It's weird. I don't actually spend that much because so much of what I get is the stuff downstairs, which is...
Is that different
it's
to the stuff
so
upstairs?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, like by the meter or yard or whatever, it's most of the stuff is under $5 a meter.
Really?
Fabric. Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm buying something for a jacket, like, that's probably 3 meters, 4 at the most. And I'm, you know, getting out of there with, like, less than $20 for a...
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's including probably thread and zippers and things, too.
Yeah,
those aren't that
much.
But it can add up, especially if you don't have a plan, which I don't usually. For a Virgo, my God, I'm the worst shopper. You know, I don't plan out very well. So I have a ton of fabric that I'm never going to do anything with because it was just an impulse purchase of, you know, oh, I love this. And then I get home and it's just useless. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's a great place to
So
be.
Anyway, just get sidetracking still, and I know we've got a lot to say. I've just got to tell you this. So what I was doing, I was looking a little bit further back into the prehistoric where we started wearing clothes.
Yeah.
And because the ages come with that, right, the age of Pisces, the age of Aries, and going back to the age of Taurus was the first time when they actually started weaving.
Textiles. And
exactly.
That's amazing, yeah.
So, and they stopped wearing skins, even though they would still at that point take leather to make shoes.
Right.
From the age of Taurus, the bull.
Yeah.
So the hides were then being used, but that's the period, that's actually the age astrologically where they started weaving.
Nice.
And it was then as we got into the age of Aries when they actually started cultivating sheep, that sheep finally had fleece, which wasn't just hair.
Yeah.
And that's when they started with the looms and the wool. I know a ram is a goat. No, a ram is a male sheep, but the female sheep's the one that gets shorn, I understand.
Yeah, it's the same animal.
Yeah, and it's only in the age of Aries during that 2000 period before 4-0 where wool and things came in, and only then apparently knitting in its very crudest form came in.
That's so cool.
So then I was thinking, well, that's kind of interesting in its own way astrologically.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a stretch, isn't it, what I'm saying? But then as we got into the age of Pisces, you think, well, what are they doing now? Wearing seaweed? And really, I don't really have a solution for that. Only to think that adornment became much more mother of pearl on, or shells and so on from the sea became part of clothing. Whereas before that, it was just to keep you warm and make it through the winter.
Yeah.
And from that point onwards, they were totally richly adorned. The Romans came in with all their dingle dangle and...
Oh, I wonder when they invented chainmail. Because that's based on fish scales, like the design of it, like how it works. And
probably,
That's neat.
So that's kind of what I was thinking when we were talking.
Cool.
And I can see you went down a totally different road, and I'd love to hear what you thought.
I just stuck with the 20th century and just barely into the 21st. But... Well, I mean, I had done a bit of legwork already because last March I had done the presentation for the Fraser Valley Astrology Guild on the generations.
Yay!
So I'm, you know, starting with the 1940s and moving up.
Fine. Because that's really when fashion designers came to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that last century?
Yeah, definitely. And as far as, like, you know, the average person being able to...
The average person being able to be
ready to wear sort of fashion. And all of that is really after the beginning of the 20th century. And before that, obviously.
They just wore sacks, didn't they, and a belt.
Sacks and a belt, exactly.
So anyway.
I believe that's where the store got its name. No. So we've got lots of pictures to put up. I did a ridiculous amount of just Google image searching and
but this one does lend itself to images,
so
doesn't
much
it?
So,
yes.
It really does.
Okay.
But I think, you know, with some of the keywords and some of the people that I'll be able to name... you'll get a picture of what we're talking about pretty easily. And it is such a fun thing, too, to be able to do a little search and you know, just put in, you know, 1940s fashion and then see all the photos that come back.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing. So in the 40s, Pluto was in Leo, Neptune was in Libra from 1943 forward.
Mm-hmm.
And Uranus was in Gemini until 1949. So we're talking about the mid to late 40s.
Okay.
So it was right after the war. And what is it we always say about Sarah? It's like, oh, when men were men and, you know, whatever. It's very sort of classic. Well, that's Leo and Libra right there in a nutshell. The you know, the perfect king and sort of male-female archetypes and very just, you know.
Pluto and Libra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pluto in Leo and Neptune in
okay,
Libra.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Those two signs, you know, very much male-female.
Yes, yes.
And if you look at the pictures from the 1940s, you really see... even people in the working classes looked like they were at the salon half the day, getting their hair, you know, set in rollers and their eyebrows plucked and perfectly done. And
people were groomed then.
Groomed. Yeah, grooming was a huge thing. And if you think about, you know, Leo with the mane and Libra with the, you know, the perfect...
The perfume, the backup started coming.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, well, and then in 1948 to 1949, Uranus moved into Cancer. And then that's when you started to get a lot of the big floral patterns. Christian Dior's new look came out, which is with, this is like rationing is over. You know, you're going out shopping now.
The American dream.
Yeah, women are back at home, but you have to still wear these giant skirts. Very
women
deal,
were still
you know.
Wearing skirts then, I think. But
it was all
there.
Skirts, yeah, pretty much, except for Katherine Hepburn, which is wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But from Gemini to Cancer, there's a big change, and so I've got you know pictures of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in their wonderful matching suits and. A lot of military sort of look with the big shoulder pads.
Yes.
Shoulder pads were a huge thing.
Right.
Huge back then for both. Clark Gable, if you, you know, picture like the perfect man from the 40s. Clark Gable, Humphrey Bogart. What's his name? The cowboy guy. John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Yeah, Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart. Like, just all of that. And then later on in the late 40s, early 50s, you have like Grace Kelly, Marilyn Monroe, Judy Garland, Doris Day. All these sort of perfect... Either the perfect wife or the perfect mistress. You know, it was very sort of very feminine and
very curvy time.
Very curvy time and Cancer. You know,
yeah,
Uranus and Cancer. So exactly. And I've got some wonderful pictures of fashion illustrations from back then.
Yes.
Men's fashion got a little more colorful at that point. There was a big thing about ties. Like men had amazing, colorful, bright, garish ties going on. A lot of recreational wear, golf outfits became a huge thing. Sporting cardigans.
That was the time when you had an outfit for everything you ever did, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you'd see
you
these
had your church clothes.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Your picnic, your, you know, barbecue
yes.
outfits, and yeah, I mean, it was very, it was consumerism, it, you know, it was post-war economic boom in North America anyway. That was just a huge thing. It was like, go shopping, go buy clothes. You'll need to wear, you know, all the perfect stuff. You have to have matching everything for
everything.
and yeah, the fashion definitely reflected that. So that was up to, that takes us to like 1955-ish.
Okay.
And then we have Pluto moving into Virgo, Neptune moving into Scorpio, and Uranus moving into Leo.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, this is getting into like the Mad Men kind of territory, the early seasons of Mad Men.
Sharp suits.
Yeah. And we have Kennedy's Camelot era, got
mm-hmm.
British pop invasion. We've got sort of the pop art look and geometric, very sort of very stylized looks.
Yes.
Very, everything becomes very clean lines.
Even the
straight.
Women are wearing
yeah.
pencil skirts.
Pencil skirts,
mm-hmm.
exactly. This is exactly it. And I think a lot of people sort of look back on that time as like the pinnacle of when fashion was perfect, you know? And then it was all downhill from there.
Pluto was in Virgo, fashion was perfect.
Right.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
I mean, yeah, there's something to be said for that. And
we even
want,
bought things that were sewn on properly.
Everything was very tailored.
Finished.
And pillbox hats and little matching plastic purses, little vinyl, everything was very straight. And
you didn't see the top stitching. And,
yeah, everything was just kind of constructed very, very well. And if you think about like Alfred Hitchcock movies and the perfect blondes and their little suits and their little dresses and
yes.
all of that is very early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. And then we have Uranus moving into Virgo, which coincided with the civil rights movement taking off, women's rights, the animal
yes.
rights activism, the harvest.
The furs.
Yeah, exactly. The Green Revolution and communes and environmental awareness activism. So all of these things are coming in with the influence of Virgo and a bit more moralizing and introspection, moving away from sort of the bolder everything with Leo.
Yes, yes.
And a little bit away from what was... The hair stayed impeccable, I think, through the 60s, really. But you do move away from the big helmets of hair, the big toxic hairspray hair, and you get more of like the Cher hair. That's so much like late 50s, early 60s. And then you get like the iron straight hair in the late 60s, which is much more sort of Virgo. It's like clean, it's neat, it's, you know, it's straight.
Oh, was it Vidal Sassoon who did that? Or
right,
was it called
right.
the 5-point cut or something?
Right, exactly. It's just like straight and shiny and, you know. You could,
yes.
Yeah. Oh. And that's all the late 60s. Up to about 1970, which is when we have that whole combination. So all of this sort of social movement stuff is definitely trickling down into fashion. And we are getting away from the strict male-female roles and moving a bit more into what's going to happen is Uranus is going to move into Libra
mm-hmm.
in 1969-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything's going to kind of melt down in fashion a little bit. A lot of polyester, a lot of velour, a lot of earth tones, which were coming in the late 60s with Virgo, and everything is just kind of...
Flowy.
Flowy, yeah. There's obviously...
We're past flower power, are we?
Well, sort
not
of...
yet.
Yeah, flower power was definitely late 60s.
Mm.
We had this sort of transition from the twiggy of the high fashion,
yep.
all of that, and then through Woodstock, which is late 1969, and beatniks and all of that. It's very much earlier
mm-hmm.
in the 60s, which is still the very neat and tidy, you know. It's all black.
It was in the 70s, which I do remember.
Yeah.
That,
it all kind of went.
When ABBA came out, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And equality in fashion became, it was almost like a very conflicting decade, I think, for having so much Libra influence. In the 70s, definitely, where you sort of saw the beginning of the splintering of fashion into different types. Whereas before, it had been like, this is what...
Everybody wore.
Yeah.
If you were a blonde, you wore this color lipstick. If
right.
you were a redhead, you wore that.
Yeah. And now it's like, well, are you a mod or are you, you know, a
rocker?
A hippie? Are you a rocker? Are you, yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And that you have all these different camps, sort of. And that is interesting. That happens in, I think, the early 70s
mm-hmm.
and just onward. It's done nothing but splinter from then on. In 1970, you have Neptune moving into Sagittarius,
okay.
which brings in all these other foreign cultures, all these other. Races and ethnicities and religions that are influencing fashion. You have sort of Eastern influence of...
Well, that's from the Beatles, isn't it? I mean, they...
Yeah, 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 exactly. Right, and the Egyptian hair and the afros and wonderful Angela Davis.
Is that where Mumus came from? These big
caftans.
Everybody
exactly.
wore caftans.
Exactly, and that's another unisex caftans. And
oh.
yeah, I have some pictures... from my family, which I'm not going to talk about. But yeah, there's a lot of long hair and a lot of long, flowy dress looking
yes,
things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I remember in the 70s we had our collar points, were there was no points. It used to come down in a like this, and then there'd be a big like teardrop at the end of
yes.
the collar.
Yeah.
I mean, what were you thinking?
Right. And pattern, like a lot of do-it-yourself stuff too. Because tailoring and sewing your own things have been a thing for forever.
Right.
And clothes, I think, were getting cheaper too. Because, well,
yes.
polyester, for God's sake. I mean, you could just.
Polyester.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I remember that.
I hate to say it, but as a Virgo, like, I had this one awful job a long time ago, very, very long time ago. And there were two polyester shirts. You got three, but there were two colors, basically. I would wear a normal, you know, normal clothes to work, and I would have this polyester awful shirt, this little short-sleeved, little round-collared thing in my pocket, wadded up, and I could just basically crumple it up into a ball in my pocket and go to work wearing normal clothes, get to work, take it out of the pocket, shake it out, and it would just look perfect and normal. And as a Virgo, there is something appealing about that, but it's horrible. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's I'm not proud of the fact that I thought that was kind of okay.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, I mean, when I was at school, we had sewing was a lesson.
Yeah.
You had to do it, right? And, of course, naturally you did, because that's where your clothes came from. And it must have been sometime during the 70s, about 76, 77, and I made myself a cerulean blue velvet catsuit.
Excellent.
With a big zip up the front collar. And it wasn't bell bottoms, it was, we used to call them Oxfords. Hmm. They were like white trousers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And of course, you're in Africa. I mean, really, what was I thinking? But it was disco.
Yeah.
I wore this.
Yes.
What was I thinking? You couldn't get it. You could get it on. You couldn't get it off. I mean, you can't, I don't think you can even buy velvet today. I don't see it anymore. Maybe you can, right?
Yeah, you can.
But I definitely wore that. Definitely, one
yeah.
season in the 70s, I wore this thing. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. No, well, when we get into the 80s, I'll tell you that's one outfit, because I even wrote it down. I was not proud, but at the same time, I remember how much fun it was.
Yes, yes.
But we're still in the 70s for now,
right.
For a moment here. So yeah, and men's fashion began to get a bit more, because all until now, men had been wearing suits and that was just what you wore.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors became a little bit more accepting of, you had the earth tones, which just took over everything.
They had a leisure suit, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. So, I mean, in the late 70s, it got pretty ugly there for a while, I have to say, with men's outfits.
Well, looking
especially.
Back, but at the time, it
at
was
At the time,
so...
yeah. No, it was good, yeah. If you watch Don't You Care in Cincinnati, for example, like, as a
yes.
television show, like, that's about the sort of the last of the... I mean, men's suits, that's about as because that was what an office, I think, probably kind of looked like. You know, you didn't necessarily have Jennifer in every office, but you're lucky. But then you... The turtleneck dresses that she wore, and the, you know, the plaid jackets on everybody. And
oh, that guy, yes, and the newsreader.
Yes, exactly. But that was still a polyester suit. That was still, you know, pants and a jacket and tie every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get away from that until
and
the 90s.
And the women still
really.
Wore skirts then, right?
Skirts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one girl, yeah, the dark-haired one, she wore pants a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's still with a jacket and a collared shirt. It wasn't like
yes.
you could
yes.
wear, like, a T-shirt to work or
no.
anything. No, not until, like, the 90s did that anywhere, really, I think, happen in the office. But everywhere else, men were wearing wide, you know, wide, huge lapelled shirts
exactly.
up into the
yeah.
navel and... Saturday Night Fever. I mean, disco.
And the shoes. I mean,
shoes. Oh, platform shoes. Thank God something's not out of style. For some of us that are 5'2". But yeah, and we're still, okay, talking about like the late 60s to early 70s. So there's so much Virgo that's influencing all of the earth tones and all this stuff and sort of the more environmental aspects of fashion. But then you talk about your mind-expanding drugs, your free love, your rock music, your beatniks, your Black Panthers, the motorcycle gangs and the Manson family and all of that stuff. Neptune was in Scorpio that whole time. So
mm-hmm.
I think that we can give Scorpio credit for the mini skirts and the go-go boots as well, probably. You know? So that was a very interesting decade of, I mean, if you think about Scorpio and Virgo, they are very compatible, but they're very different.
Yes,
so that's, you
yes.
get a lot of contrast in a really interesting way there. And then you get a lot of Libra right at the beginning of the 70s. And that is paired with Sagittarius. So
mm.
all the multiculturalism, gosh, well, facial hair, really. I mean, I think of that as a very Sagittarian thing. for some reason.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's that's the central.
Casual.
Yeah, exactly. Outdoorsy.
Yes.
You know, very, yes, okay, so the gender bending kind of thing came in a lot too, which is, I think, a lot of the influence of Libra. You had people like David Bowie and Grace Jones,
yes.
Annie Lennox in the late 70s, and very much sort of merging all the different things that you could do style-wise,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just going, oh, you know, makeup is no longer a female thing, pants are no longer a male thing,
yep.
Everybody can do whatever they want, and that's
definitely... Unisex clothes.
That's carried through, obviously, until
yeah.
the present
yes.
day. That's not going anywhere.
No.
And we also had the beginning of gay rights, and that just being aware that there were such a thing as gay people was obviously fairly new in the 60s
mm-hmm.
to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
And this just became, you know, more and more of an influence on fashion. There, I think Libra has a lot to do with that
yes.
as well. And music, obviously. That brings us through the 70s. And I've got so many pictures I'm getting distracted by. So, 1984, this is the beginning of Pluto and Scorpio, Neptune and Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, they all move like at the same time in this era for us, which is so convenient. And Uranus in Sagittarius.
Right.
So the influence of these three is... Again, we have a lot of conflict, but we have the beginning of a lot of status consciousness and a lot of the economies are going up because we've got, you know, Reagan and Thatcher and conservative sort of politics. We've got income inequality skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the influences from both ends of the economic spectrum. So we have punk at the one end, which is
yes.
like the, you know, annihilation of everything and, you know, safety pins and ripped everything
mm-hmm.
and sort of the heroin chic before the heroin chic. And then at the other end, we've got the massive shoulder pads, the massive... You know, jewelry and the brands and the
designer, labels.
Everything. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even the sitcoms that were on television showed families that were insanely wealthy. If you look back at
Dallas
and Dynasty and Knots Landing, and these were the most popular shows on television, and they were just billionaires, you know, like oil tycoons.
Yeah.
And these are what everybody's watching on television as like a family, and even the normal.
I'm feeling inadequate. It's just
totally, yeah.
Yeah.
It was all about, you know, reaching and striving and. Those are very Capricorn things, clearly. But also the resentment of same, which
yes.
is from the underclasses. We had the influence of punk, we had rap, we had all of these fashions coming in, coalescing. And so the 80s, even though it was when I grew up, you know, and I started to dress however I wanted, which is, my mother will tell you, was probably when I was like 7, but more so when I was like 11, 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the beginning of the 80s, and really, the fashion was just a wide open field of anything you wanted, everything at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disaster, really. It's just every pattern, every possible fabric, everything at once.
Yes, yes, yes.
The 80s were an era of extreme excess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and, yeah. Power dressing was a big buzzword.
You got a power suit as a woman.
Suit.
That's
and
right.
Massive shoulder pads.
Yes.
And double-breasted. Stockings and and heels, and then you have your running shoes and your purse to change when you get to the office.
Yes,
and like the
and
little
a pair of spare stockings in the drawer in case you got a ladder.
Right.
You don't want to be dead in the ladder.
Right, exactly. And all the jewelry and all the makeup, I mean, just so much makeup. We had an 80s party a while ago. Not we, but I went to an 80s
mm-hmm.
party, and I just couldn't believe how much makeup I used to wear. Because
mm-hmm.
I was, I mean, when I was like 13 or 14, and gosh, it was a lot of makeup. And compared to now, I wear makeup.
But you look at that, you watch the old movies.
Insane.
You know,
yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's the foundation and the concealer and the blush and the all different kinds of eyeliner.
And the colors.
Oh, the colors. There was nothing that you couldn't wear together.
Yeah.
No, nothing. And if you do a search, it's actually kind of, it's horrifying, really, if you do a search for just 80s fashion. Like, the pictures that come back are just like, oh, my God. It makes the 70s look tasteful.
Yes.
It does. Yeah. And so Capricorn and Sagittarius, not the best combination for fashion.
Okay.
This is mine. I'm proclaiming this. So, oh, yes, and I would describe an outfit that I actually have worn. This is consumer capitalism at its worst. I think I was maybe 12 or 13. It was a fun time to be a teenager, though. Best time, I think, because you could wear it if you wanted to. Every eyeshadow color that you can imagine,
mm-hmm.
and eyeliner, and they had colorful, like, mascara, like, you could wear electric blue mascara,
right.
Which is disgusting, and then what you do it. Oh, yeah, and then you could put it in your hair, too, back then, no problem, you know, put that mascara wherever you feel like it. Okay, so, high pink leggings with lace at the calf, pointy black ankle boots, with little ankle socks, which were a different color of neon, leg warmers, just
leg
in
warmers.
Case, you know, that came up to, like, the ankle, cut-off denim skirt with a studded oversized belt, and another belt on top of that as well, mesh tank top of some bright orangey color, a lace bra of some color because it's showing, of course, underneath, 16 or 17 bracelets up and down
That's
both arms.
Right. That's right. And it clunked.
Yeah, exactly. And half of it was plastic, so, it was, you know, it was fine. It was, you know, never comfortable. It was lightweight. Like, three or four different earrings in each ear. Mousse, something called
mousse
became a
for
thing.
For the big hair.
Everybody had to wear that. It was required. It was mandatory. Perms were given out at the border. You just had to have one. like, a leather-patched denim vest with fringe and buttons and lapel pins all over it, all over the front. Yeah.
And that was all in one day.
All in one day, yeah. And like a little lace skirt that was like a ballet skirt over top of that. Because, you know, you can. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Oh my God. So yeah, that was the 80s. And then we had a bit of a backlash when Uranus went into, I believe it was Capricorn? Yeah, Capricorn, in 88.
Yeah.
That is when we started to see sort of the alternate side of that. It was the grunge thing.
The grunge.
And thank God for grunge. That's all I have to say.
Were you into grunge? Yes. I have a daughter who was into grunge.
Yeah. And it came in, it basically said, okay, all of this that you're doing with your ass wash and your neon, and that's gross. That's disgusting. Stop it. Stop it right now. And a lot of people did, which is great. So it was a cleansing of the palate.
That's a good one. Yes.
You know, Capricorn and Sagittarius, mm-hmm. Too much, too much, too much. And then both in Capricorn, and all of a sudden it sort of cleaned everything out. So in the late 80s, early 90s, of supermodels, they all of a sudden went from Elle Macpherson to Kate Moss, which was like, now you look at Kate Moss and she looks completely glamorous and like a goddess, and you know, but back then she was like, she was the skinny, short, like 5'7", which was short for a model. She looked like she was about to die of starvation, and you had this sort of fleshing out of all of the massive excess of the 80s. And you saw weird things on the runway, like, you know, black turtleneck dresses that had no adornment, no jewelry, stringy-haired models.
That's right.
Had no makeup, gaunt-looking faces.
They'd be wearing the same clothes all week.
Right, exactly, yeah. Like, they'd fallen asleep at a party in, like, a corner. Someone had, like, spilled their drink on them, and then they had to go walk down the runway.
It was like it was fashionable not to bother.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And yet it clearly was bothered.
Well, by the time I got to the catwalk, it was definitely... You know, there was some effort put into it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It started out, the musicians that pioneered that whole trend, I think they were, you know, borderline homeless, like guys that, you know, had run away from their family's home and were living in, you know, someone's basement for, you know, forward a room. That was great. But yeah, so that was a bit of a cleansing of the palate that happened. And that brought us up to the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pluto moves into Sagittarius, Neptune moves into Aquarius, and Uranus moves into Aquarius all at once. Then we have a really interesting kind of shift happens with, we have the tech bubble boom thing happening. A lot of sort of technology-influenced fashion comes into play. And also, rave music was much more towards the 90s, but I think fashion really caught up with it in the mid-90s. And you have Spice Girls, and you have the sort of really shiny fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's actually quite attractive, really, if you look back on it and comparing it to some of the other
some
eras.
Some of them, yeah.
Definitely, everyone kind of looked a little prettier. Men, women, everybody. Lenny Kravitz, I mean, he's...
Yes, yes.
No one can argue with that.
No.
but you love platform shoes again. A lot of low jeans and a lot of, like, high shirts. A lot of shiny tan kind of, you know, painted people.
Mm-hmm,
A lot of feathery, furry sort of cozy things. That actually more so happens towards the middle of the 2000s. When Uranus moves into Pisces, which brings in a lot more sort of femininity, metrosexual becomes a huge thing. And I think that is definitely...
Well, it's a new thing, because we never heard of it until then.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's definitely, I think, the influence of Aquarius and Pisces when they get together.
Yes.
You have egalitarian, but sort of, you know, switching back and forth between... It's not like everybody's blended into a, you know, a velour coalescence of oranges and browns and that kind of equality. It's more of an equality, like everybody tries really super hard instead. And it's sort of, I don't know, it's more of a sort of technological, weirdly advanced, feminine alien kind of look that comes in. And that's very Aquarius Pisces.
Oh.
A feminine alien. Yeah. Everyone looked like David Bowie. That was what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was really interesting. Hair color comes, you know, every color in the rainbow, every age. That's when you started to hear the blank is the new blank thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
40 is the new 20, orange is the new black, whatever. That's a huge thing of that era. Rachel Hare from Friends. Most popular haircut on women since probably Farrah.
Yes.
Yes. And she's never asked.
Who?
Rachel.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. So that brings us through, I don't know, not the present day, but as far as research really will do us much good, because it's hard to actually, you know, say what your current era is fashion-wise anymore.
I know.
And that was the other thing, too, I think, because when you get later and later in the science, which is just something in the modern era, you kind of...
It's all been done.
Exactly. I think the retro, that became a real thing in like the 90s to late, late 90s,
yeah.
early 2000s, where every style that had ever happened was just rehashed. If you look at pictures of people from the 90s through now, you can't really tell. You know, certain things will definitely be markers of what, you know, what era we're in. But that's a good 30 years where fashion really hasn't changed significantly.
I agree. I think, to my mind, a lot of it, I don't even want to say, but it's kind of influenced by like, things like Star Trek, where everyone's wearing this comfortable thing, yoga pants.
Right, yoga pants. Oh,
I don't know if you have any.
Well... wearing some right now.
Right,
sort of.
So who doesn't, right? And
yeah.
you know why? Because they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And these places, these expensive gym place, athletic gear, actually works. It really is comfortable.
Yeah.
You breathe in it. It fits you. It moves. And I don't know. I kind of like it myself.
Yeah. No, I don't mind. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's weird because I think it's sort
but
of
you
like,
feel fitter because you're wearing it because all the bodies are now stronger and fitter and
toned. People are eating
better,
way healthier than
yes.
I think. Just the awareness of what additives and not eating like the pyramid with the meat and cheese and eggs and what was that, the four food groups and I don't know, just all the wrong things,
carbs.
Yeah,
but this is it. Whereas and fabrics are becoming lighter yet stronger,
right.
which we didn't have 25
exactly.
years ago. And that's the difference. I mean, I remember wearing some great big skirt that had like a million pleats in it. It was heavy.
Oh, God, totally. I mean, I love vintage clothes, but every time I go and I try on some amazing 50s dress, because I sort of have the body type that suits that, not, you know, I can't go and wear like the 60s little sheath thing and have it look normal. It's not built that way. But, you know, those wonderful 50s dresses, you can't lift your arms. You know?
They're lined. We don't line anything anymore.
No.
I'm still lined, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you go right at market.
Stretch it on. It's just, I mean, if you're in there, you feel like armor, great. But, wow, not at all comfortable. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. But we would want to then say, well, where's it going to go?
Yeah, that is...
Is it going to get more less, if I can say that? More minimalistic? Everything's thinner and yet stretchier, and you can put you plug in your iPod and it's all on you. Take pictures with your phone and all of these gadgetry things we have to accommodate now.
Yeah, totally.
In our outfits.
You know what I was... This is so retarded. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but... I am sick, though. Bear in mind here, I have been ill. But last night I was watching... anyways.
Okay.
Resident Evil Retribution.
And why is that funny? I'm sorry.
Because it's just such a terrible movie. I mean, but it's just this big zombie movie with Mila Jovovich, and she's, you know, the fembot from the future. She's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. God, Mila. But she wears this outfit that, you know, comes out of, like, this drawer in this, like, machine, like, pod thing that she's
a
prisoner. She's wearing, like, a paper towel that's held on with, like, you know, like a paper clip. And you can see it from the sides, and she looks naked, and she turns to the front, and she's wearing this, like,
she wore the same thing in the other movie with Bruce Willis.
Fifth
Element.
Right.
That was
designed by Jean-Paul Gaultier. Exactly. But, right. Then she puts on this armor thing, which is, like, this amazing black catsuit type of, you know, it looks like... Not leather, but of course that would be ridiculous. But it's like this black bodysuit thing, boots, and they're like all studded with like these cool things up the side. But like she puts her extra ammo clip in her boot, and then, you know, obviously. And then she's got this amazing parka later on with like this fur-lined hood and, you know, and all these pockets and like that.
She's got the headphones and the...
Totally, yeah. And she's got these glasses that show her the whole schematic of the place that they're in. And yeah, exactly. Which is kind of an interesting Uranus Pisces... Aries thing, you know, it's like you're all outfitted for war, but it's comfortable and lightweight, you know.
And you can bring
a
breeze, so
you
can kill an animal.
Exactly.
Yeah, what about these Google glasses? I mean, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's and yet in time to come, we're going to think nothing of it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You know, being walking around with plugged in and stuff like that.
Yeah, and recording your whole life so that you can play it back later or post it on YouTube or whatever you want. Yeah.
So that's kind of where it's going, and there's a more natural look, I think, definitely. And I think because people look better longer,
right,
into their 50s, 60s,
60s,
70s, 40s. Yeah, that's what some do. But I mean, you know,
yeah.
Rather than when I was a kid, I mean, my grandmother at 50 was an old lady, you know?
Yeah, it's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is weird.
It is.
Like, it's not just because we're getting older, we want to say that, like, you know?
I know, right?
Like, it's almost like you'd hesitate to say it because you don't want to sound like, but I don't feel like whatever. I mean, yeah.
You never, you always feel the same as you did when you were 16.
I feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to dress that way, luckily, because I've already just described to you the outfit. But, yeah, it's weird.
I remember the kaftans. I wore kaftans when I was about, I don't know, 14. We all had them.
Yeah.
And it had, I don't know.
Well, the picture I was talking about, it was like, I was maybe I was maybe 2 or 3. And there's a picture of my mother and my father and my grandmother and my grandfather. And there, 3 out of 4 of them are wearing floor-length dress, kaftan, floral thing, big beards, long hair, and the whole nine. And I mean, I was a baby, so I didn't even know what I was wearing. Because you just don't even notice the baby in the picture. All you see is, like, massive amounts of floral
cloth. No, hair's gone, hasn't it? Hair's just definitely disappeared, definitely.
What did you say?
I don't miss the facial hair, to tell you the truth. I like to see faces.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to see an expression with them. But anyway.
But it's interesting how your style, like, you know, preferences for certain things do get locked in, you know.
That's true. That's what they say.
As much as I, you know, was embarrassed about looking through the 80s pictures, so it's like, wow, that was so much fun.
Yeah, but that's the era you knew, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They said you can tell how old a woman is by the way she wears the makeup, because that's the year you
right.
know to do it.
Thank God I have not done that still. But it's funny, too, older women, like, older, like, you know, old women.
You've just been polite now, yes.
No, but I don't, I'm actually talking about, like, women who are, like, you know, little old ladies, because they still have that. There are still some. But, like, they'll pick one cosmetic and then just wear that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of, either it's lipstick or it's blush or it's the eyebrows and then nothing else, which is neat, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for me, it would be lipstick. There's no question. It's the one thing I can't go to the store without.
Yeah.
But,
well, look at the cosmetic industry. I mean,
yeah,
it's humongous, right?
Yeah.
Humongous.
Oh,
though, the cosmetic house is coming up, I've never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
Know? But that doesn't mean anything, but I mean,
at least now, I mean, when you wear that much makeup, it doesn't look like it now, you know? But that's definitely changed. That's huge. Costs more. It doesn't look like you're wearing
it. It does. It's like now, this business that you don't wear perfume anymore. Now, 10 years ago, you absolutely wouldn't go out without it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's totally frowned upon.
Yeah, because of the allergies.
Yeah, and there's so many places you're not allowed to.
Right. Yeah, I work from home, so I still...
Well, when you go into the...
Yeah.
I don't want to say the real world. When you face the world...
Yeah, that's...
You can't go into these places. It's actually in your thing, you know?
Yeah.
So things are changing.
I remember that. I was last office I worked in, we actually got an email. HR, I was working under HR. We got an email about someone complaining about the other person near them wearing, you know, too much perfume.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do about that? Yeah, I can't remember what we did there.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it stops being a problem.
So really, we don't think there'll be much fashion change because for the planets at the moment, Pluto's in the middle of Capricorn. It's going to be there another 10 years.
Right.
Neptune's in Pisces, taking its time. Uranus, at least another 7-8 years before there's going to be a shift.
Yeah. Definitely.
So we'll revisit this issue in 7 years' time. Then
yeah,
the next outer planet changes.
Uranus goes into Taurus.
Yeah.
We should see an interesting change then.
Yeah. Excellent research there. Oh.
Thank you. And it's a lot more fun with the pictures, probably, if anyone has felt like this was, you know, just a whirlwind of words.
Certainly go do it to the site.
Check out the site
and
got lots of neat little timelines and pictures and whatnot to look at on accessastrology.com in case anyone didn't know. And if you're interested in a calendar or any kind of a mouse pad or travel mug.
Arwen's fabulous original art.
Yeah. It's the little Zazzle store on the sidebar of all of our pages and posts and whatnot.
Fabulous.
So we have some book reviews, too.
Yes, we do. So the book I brought is The Outer Planets and Their Cycles, The Astrology of Collective by Liz Green.
good book.
You have it?
I do. Yep.
I think everyone eventually gets to Liz Green. It's certainly not a beginner's book by any stretch of the imagination. And this one is, I don't want to say it's 1980-something, but it definitely is. It just looks pretty new because it's my second edition. She's an absolute excellent astrologer. And this is actually a book of lectures she gave during the 80s and probably the 70s too,
yeah,
about the outer planets and their cycles and how change occurred for her during that time. Now, things have changed since she wrote this,
yeah,
but it is still absolutely solid astrology, and Liz Green is still going down in history as one of those astrologers.
Yeah,
that's
when she predicted the fall of the Soviet Union and all, right?
So, and here we are, the preface to the 2005 edition, the 1983 edition.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah.
Nice.
So, it's actually a great book. It's one of those books that you get to, I would imagine, after you've been learning astrology for 12 months, go and get Liz Green. It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
Do you like this book?
I do.
It's all about the outer planets, which is, of course, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which is what we've been talking about today, and how they create background changes for the whole world, really. And that's for, such as in fashion or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's so interesting about that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I highly recommend this, The Outer Planets and Their Cycles by Liz Green.
Yeah. I second that. I second it.
Look at that, 5 stars.
Yeah. Well, I also have a, not a blast from the past, but another Stephen Arroyo. St. Stephen Arroyo. This is his second most recent book, because...
Right.
Well, okay, so it came out in 1996.
Yes.
But I had never read it.
So what's it called?
It is called Exploring Jupiter, the Astrological Key to Progress, Prosperity, and Potential.
That sounds like one I have to borrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Tell us about it.
Today, before I get into it.
Is it brand new?
Well, it's brand new in the sense that I just ordered it, yes. It came, I think, right after Christmas.
Oh, you haven't even read it. Well, when you've read it, I'll have
No. That's the thing. I will lend it to you before.
Oh, no.
What?
No, it's a brand new book. You read it.
Okay. You might be waiting a long time if you're waiting for me to finish
it. So it's all about Jupiter?
Yes, it
transiting
is.
Natal? Or?
All of the above.
Really? So have you got a piece you're going to pull out there for us somewhere or something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It goes through.
Well, I thought you were looking for something.
I was looking for a bookmark to see if I had actually started reading it, officially or not. I haven't bookmarked anything, so no. He goes through all the different elements, Jupiter in the elements and then in the signs. And then he has obviously all sorts of examples of people with strong Jupiter. And then he talks about aspects and transits. So,
solid probably, Jupiter book.
Yeah.
Is it a beginner's book?
No, probably not. Probably intermediate. But I mean, the way he writes is very, very accessible.
You
obviously.
Like his books, don't you?
Oh, yeah, everything.
Jupiter, so, okay.
Yeah, it's great.
So this is a planet-specific book?
Yes, yes. All about Jupiter.
And where's your Jupiter based?
It's in Aquarius. In the third house.
Oh.
Chatty Cathy.
Yeah.
Glutton for knowledge, I believe, was my catchphrase when we talked about Jupiter.
Glutton for knowledge.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. What's yours?
Scorpio.
Excellent.
Good book.
Yeah.
So what was that called again?
Exploring Jupiter, the Astrological Key to Progress, Prosperity, and Potential by Stephen Arroyo.
So, excellent books.
Recommended.
Yeah.
So far, I haven't read it yet. I'm assuming.
Well, it looks brand new. It's not, not creaky and broken yet. Like some of the things we all have for.
Like all of my other books of his.
I know, right?
Yeah, totally. So that's our fashion episode.
Dedicated followers of fashion, we are.
Yeah. Well, speaking of fashion, last weekend I did something that I've been meaning to do since September when this show came to Vancouver. It's called From Rationing to Ravishing, the Transformation of Women's Clothing in the 1940s and 50s. And it's an exhibition at the Museum of Vancouver, which is just across the water from us, over by the planetarium and whatnot. And it is a show that an exhibition of all these clothes that they have from the 30s through the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And it's an amazing collection. And the thing that I went to is a fashion show. The curators of the show are Ivan Sayers and Klaus Janke. All of the clothes are from the vaults of the Museum of Vancouver, so they've got all these amazing clothes, and the show was just a two-hour fashion show, basically.
And with live models wearing these old clothes.
Yeah, exactly. And then he would go into these stories, these wonderful anecdotes about all the items. Like, this coat came from this lady who was in an internment camp during the course of the war, and all of her clothes that she had, after she got out, she had donated them all, and and he buys up all these great things from these.
And he only collects in this particular period.
No, it's I came home and I was so excited because it was just such a such an engaging, interesting, and educational sort of experience. And I looked him up online, Ivan Sayers, and I found all these YouTube videos, and he does, you know, basically from the 1800s through current present day. There's this whole thing on the history of animals in clothing and accessories, like what it was, armadillo purses and
clothing. Oh yeah.
So there's that on YouTube, all sorts of, you know, just neat history of fashion stuff.
And did it inspire you to come home and create a...
Well, funnily enough, I was going to bring my camera, and I didn't. I forgot. And as I was crossing the parking lot to the museum, and I was like, oh God, I didn't bring my camera. What was I thinking? But of course, pictures are out there of, you know, the whole show. Like, there's hundreds of things that have pictures. But what I did was I brought my sketchbook. So I ended up drawing pictures of all the outfits as I was in the audience there.
Oh, and an artist.
And,
did I mention that?
I mean, the drawings are a little bit terrible, like, for...
Well, they're not. They're fabulous. They're fabulous. I've seen them.
Oh, you're sweet. It's funny, though. I was just sort of crunched into the back, leaning against the wall, drawing with one hand. Obviously drawing with one hand, but, you know, holding the sketchbook in the other hand. So it was, you know, it's not an ergonomically correct sort of situation. And
but it, for you, it became a creative expression.
It was fun.
And
that's great. And creative.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So, we'll put a little link up there to our man.
Ivan Sayers. I have to recommend him. Because
you know, that's part of this knock-knock joke, right? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Ivan.
Ivan who? Oh my goodness.
Ivan Overcoat. So you see, it's all to do with fashion. Okay, there you go. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Do you want to close?
Oh my goodness. Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Tubbs. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Alison Price.
Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you next time.